Ada Morales, 5A1, opposite of Hayden.
5A1, so it is.
5A1, we keep moving every day.
Only 42 block in this.
5A1.
Okay, we welcome Morty back from his trip to New York for all his weddings. Should continue to have a replay of Simchas, but it should not cause you not to be here at this year. Rabbi Yosi B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, he says the following. Shorashim Ein Bahen Mamash. You know, person's roots, you think your yichas means anything. Ein Bahen Mamash. Doesn't mean anything.
Don't tell this to Rabbi Dave Finkelstein.
Why?
Shoresh.
Oh, Shoresh. That's right, I forgot. Right. Absolutely correct. Okay. So.
Is he into Orlo Bikur?
Yes, he's into this. Shoresh. Camp Shoresh, they're into it. They have a whole display there. So, according to the simple reading of it, it says in the footnote 2, that taken at face value, it means if you planted a tree in Eretz Yisrael and some of the roots went into Chutz La'aretz, that it would have no impact at all on the tree at all. It would continue to be chayv and bikurim. It would continue to be subject to the rules of Arla. Shorash mei mamash, they don't affect the tree at all. That's the simple impact, the pshat. Now, this is in contradistinction to what we just said from Reb Zeira, which we're going to quote, who said yesterday, Shoresh Pater Poiter. So this is Reb Zeira, the next line, who is the one who said that. He asked Reb Yosi the following. He said, Beferish Meisim and Reb Yechanan, did you hear what you just said explicitly? Oh, but Arla Havisim come in. Maybe you were talking about Arla. The Iztakas had the Muslim Bikurin. Maybe you were involved discussing Arla, and then you got switched to the subject of Bikurim. And Va'amar Sharashim Ein Bahen Mamash, and then he said, roots are of no consequence. So like this. So in the footnote, he goes to a whole shock of attire here, and follow along if you want. So he says, Lukhara, it's a stira. Now, if you would be talking about Bikurim, then you could answer the stira easily, because you could say, you know when a shoresh is isba mamish? That's if it goes into the chotzer, as we mentioned yesterday, if you had an old shoresh, and it extends all the way into your friend's property, it's no longer considered Bikurim Moscha, and in that place it would be Yeshbohan Mamish, it would be part of you from Bikurim. As opposed to a shoresh chadash, which would not part you from Bikurim, because that's within the framework of Yeshua, being Moshe Eretz Yisrael, with that condition that you could plant trees on the border. So if you were talking about Bikurim, I could have answered the stira between what I said yesterday, Reb Zeira, and what you're saying today, Reb Yosi. You are saying, again, you're saying, Shorash of Abraham Mamash, that's talking about Chadash, new Shorash. And when I said that it's Poitras, that's talking about the old Shorash. But if he was talking about Arla, then that Yishuv doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Yashan or Chadash. If it's Arla, Arla is not Negeah. It's not Negeah, you know, that Inyan. So, that's basically what he's asking him. What was the context of what when you heard Reb Yechanan say this, what was he discussing? All right? Yeah. Let's go further. No, he doesn't answer the question. I'm Rav Zeira. Han de Tamar Sharashim Abraham Mamish. So he goes to explain that it could be, is a way to reconcile, we're about to say, there's a way to reconcile Rabbi Yechanan's din, even if it includes Arla as well. And this is what we're going to say. Hein da taimar shoroshin ein bahen mamish. You know when it doesn't mean anything. Hishri shu chutz la'aretz la'aretz. If I have a tree sitting in outside Eretz Yisrael, and the shoroshim reach into Eretz Yisrael, so then it's ein bahen mamish. It's not going to be, you're not going to be mechayev that tree in Arlo, you're not going to be mechayev that tree in Bikur Mida. Now, we have to stop for a second. To say it's not mechayev it in Arlo is completely wrong, because there is a din of Arlo in Chutz La'aretz. So what does he mean?
Deraisa.
So it's deraisa, it's halacha l'mishmi Sinai in Chutz La'aretz. So it's a different kind of case. So that basically that's what he says. The chilek is the gabi sofik. I mean, it's a little bit of a doichik. Okay, but that's what he means. Right. Aval hishri shumeha aretz l'chutz aretz, but if the tree was in Eretz Yisrael and the roots go into outside Eretz Yisrael, so then sharash shurim yesh rem mamish, then it has an impact. Like we said. Right? And number nine, if you want to look down, let's see, he wants to say yesh rem mamish. We'll go to the conversely paragraph. Rabbi Yochanan's other ruling that an exempt root exempts refers to instances which the tree within Eretz Yisrael that should be sanach to Arlo or Bikurim has roots that extend into out Chutz La'aretz. So they do have significance. They cause the entire root to be exempt. Okay? Next. Sipkol is Kena Potter. Now, if you grafted an attached branch of a young tree to a trunk of an old tree, then the young tree is exempt from Arlo in its entirety because, right, this is an interesting application of the rule. An exempt root, a shorish hapoter, is poter. Because now you have one, right, you have the new sapling. It's got one root in the ground and one root on the old tree. So the old tree is poter from Arlo. So it's a shoresh hapoter is poter. So it has one root that's attached to the old tree. We'll poter the young tree as well. It's a great application. L'chutz la'aretz poter, and the same thing is true if you have one root going out.
Can you go here?
You have a young sapling,
yeah.
And you graft it onto an old tree.
So it's still in the ground.
It's in the ground and attached to the tree. You've got both. You've got two shoreshim.
Oh,
okay. So that's the pshat. One shoresh, which is potter, will potter the whole tree. Okay? L'chutz la'aretz potter. If you grafted an attached branch of a tree outside Eretz Yisrael to a tree that's inside Eretz Yisrael, right, then the tree inside Eretz Yisrael is also exempt from Arlo because that's drawing nourishment from Chutz La'aretz. It's another example. Okay, lehekdesh chayef. Let's suppose I graft, right? I attach a branch of my sapling to a tree that is hekdesh. So the assumption here is the hekdesh by itself would be potter. And you might think that therefore attaching it would also be potter. The Gemara tells us no, chayev. In that case, you're going to be chayev. We're going to see in a second why, but I'm just telling you what the chav, I mean, it would be to say that it's potter, right?
That's not considered meiwa. You're taking a young tree, right? You're attaching it to a
hekdesh. Oh, you want to know how that would be mutar b'chlal? That's a good question. Rukhara, that would be Mi'ila. Very good question. I didn't think about the Mi'ila aspect of it here.
You're adding to it. You're not taking away from it.
Well, you're being nana from it. You're not allowed to sit on a bench, right? Yoshev al Akise. What?
It's already attached to the ground, so it's not really... It's being yoyek anyway.
How about if you have a kadesh, all the fruit of the tree, right. Say everything that comes from this tree is lahegdish, so it's not Mi'ila.
That's the direction it could go.
What are you're saying that the wood is not hektish? The wood belongs to hektish. Well, the assumption here is that the whole tree belongs to hektish.
Right. So I'm grafting a tree onto that, and all the fruits of that tree and the wood will be go to hektish.
Yeah.
Because then it wouldn't be chayv and arlo in the first place. Anyway.
We're talking about grafting a tree which is hulin to a tree which is hektish. And we're discussing the issue is the tree of hulin going to be potter from Arlo as a result of being attached to the hektish tree. That's the issue. So what are you saying exactly?
So the tree could remain chulin.
Yeah.
But if you are mekadesh the fruit to become hekdesh.
What fruit?
Of this tree.
Of which tree?
The nur.
I'm not doing that.
You're not doing that.
I'm not doing that. No. It's chulin. We're discussing now only one halacha. And he's asking a question, which is, how are you allowed to graft it? It's mila. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question.
Why is it mila?
Because you're being nana from Hekdesh. How are you allowed to be nana from Hekdesh? No, I don't know what the answer is.
It's still attached to the ground, though. So what did you add by grafting it?
You're benefiting. You're not allowed to climb on that tree. You're not allowed to climb into the branches of that tree. If you sit on a bench, which is Hekdesh, even though Hekdesh doesn't lose one dime, you're Moel B'Hekdesh. It's because of a Farish. Yashav Al-Kitha, he's Moel B'Hekdesh. You don't have to, you're not allowed to be another from Hekdesh. It's off limits. I don't know the answer. And especially here where you're taking nutrients from the tree. It's not just some...
The question is how you can touch the tree at all.
Yeah, how are you able to graft to a tree? I don't know the answer to the question. Maybe you're not. Maybe that's besides the point. I'm going to assume that you weren't allowed to, and that's besides the point. Okay? Letzana tachton, if you had a tree which was what? Half the tree was hedge, the bottom half, right? And the top half was fruit, right? So if you attached a side tree to the bottom half of another tree, so, or letzana elyon, or if it made the top half hedge, either way, chayiv. Again, you're subject to arla. Now, the Gemara is going to explain why. L'hekdesh, the reason why you're l'hekdesh is because shuhura l'hekdesh l'chayiv. Because it is possible to just give money to the gizbar, be part of the hekdesh, it goes to the chulin, and it's going to be shayiv to be chayiv and arla completely. So since there's a tzad chiyuv, we don't say that something patters if there's a tzad chiyuv. Number one, l'tzad ha'elyon chayiv, because you could change your mind. You could change it from hedge to fruit, and then again it will be five in all. So whenever you have a possibility of change, even though right now it's not in that state, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to potter it. So those are the rules. Let's see here. Now again, the Gemara repeats this. I don't know why. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, who said that if you have half and half of a tree, that's the way you would divide it up, right? So Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he held, it's like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds the nutrients absorbed by each root are not distributed throughout the whole tree, in the machlokes between Rabbi and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So we suggested this already yesterday. The Gemara tried to say, is he going to hold like, I don't know, the Gemara just repeats the same kakvatai here. Is Rabbi Yosef like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? The Gemara says, no. Afilo Yisbar Karevi, Orla, Tluya Badaitoi, Maishas and Tluya Badaitoi. We said the same terms before. That one depends on his das, and the other one doesn't depend on his das, so that's why it could even work out like a Shulman Gamliel. We've already said this already. Let's go on to the next halacha. I don't know why it repeated it. The Gemara starts off in an interesting language. I just think the language of the Mishnah is very interesting. 5b. Eis Shabo'u Avoseinu La'aretz. The time that our forefathers came into Eretz Yisrael. It's just unusual language. Umatsu natua. And they found a tree that was planted. It was, could have been planted, 10 days ago. And it's subject to 3 years of arlo, what you, Lukhari, you would say. So it says, no, the Mishnah tells you, no, putter. All the trees that were planted when we came into Eretz Yisrael are putter from arlo.
Is that the point of the introduction?
Okay, so let's say that that's the point. So he's asking a question. So why isn't he potter? Because so that would be true. Are you telling me that you believe that if a goy plants a tree today in Eretz Yisrael, that the tree is potter from Arla?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Nobody.
You just know it. We're going to see that this Mishnah contradicts that assumption. In just a few minutes, we're going to read a statement. If you want to skip ahead just a drop, if you just go down to the next paragraph, it says, Hanotel Rabim Chayev, Rabbi Huda Poiter, Hanotel Shusarabim, Hanochri Shanota, a non-Jew who plants, all these of the above list, chaya va'arla. So the next statement in the Mishnah says explicitly that a guy who plants is chaya va'arla. Okay, let's wait till we get there because we're gonna talk about this.
That's after they were
already. After we're in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but he's saying
he planted that in his own property.
Okay, hold on. Let's go slow. Okay, so the first thing is when you come into Eretz Yisrael and the trees are already there, they're potter, right? And we're gonna see in a second why. The first line is why. How do we know that? Notu, if they go ahead and they plant it, even though they hadn't gone through the 14 years of Shavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavashavash inch to be chayv, right? You're chayv immediately. Any tree that they planted, any tree that a Jew plants after they get to Eretz Yisrael, chayv and ola. Hanotil Rabim, if you plant a tree for the public, in other words, you're planting it to feed the public. You're doing a public service.
Johnny Appleseed.
Chai, I don't know what that is. Chayiv, you're chayiv arlo. If you're a pointer, he also knows you're potter. What's the reason for planting for public? Let's take a look over here. Planting for public does not refer to planting on public property. That's the next clause. It means you're planting on your property with the intent that the fruits will be available to the public. So, now, numerous commentators, however, infer from the Yerushalmi below that the Mishnah speaks specifically of a tree planted on private property in Yerushalayim. So that's for the public because he holds that Yerushalayim was not nischalik l'shvatim. So since it wasn't divided up in shvatim, so anything that's planted there is automatically public property. It's not a question of intent. You don't own the property. So therefore, anything that you plant in Yerushalayim automatically will be mutter for anybody to take from.
So the Mishnah would have been more precise if it said, not to be Yerushalayim.
Yes. But these are these commentators. I don't know who they are. So, whatever. Maybe it's the Chazaynish. I'm not sure. All right. Very good. So, okay. Next thing. So that's on the tail of Robin. Does it say the reason for Yehuda? Does he say he doesn't say it? Yehuda holds his potter. Hanotea
b'rshusaram. Because you're not growing it for the intent of consuming?
No, you're, it's not for you.
It's
the
Pasuk says if you're planting,
yeah,
for food, right?
It's in Oral, it says in Torah, Hesavoa, Pasuk is right here in Torah, or Aleph. He savoho arts untatem kol it eitz machol maratem also as per yoshol shom yilachem arim lo yoyochel. I mean, it doesn't sound like I don't see anything in the pasuk. Hanotim rishus harabim. So if you plant in the public domain, so here already you're in the rishus harabim, right? So let's see here. They say rash and rush. They here we're talking about you planting in the public street. But your intent is to use the fruit for yourself, right? Because we just had the case of planting l'rabim. So we can't have a repeat of the same case, just changing whether you're in rishus harabim or not. No, that doesn't make sense. Because it wouldn't make sense. If
planting in rishus hayachid is...
There's no machlokas here, though. Okay, so maybe you want to say that maybe that's why it's different. Okay, anyway, that's what they say.
So who does the tree belong to?
It doesn't belong to anybody. It's illegal to plant in public domain.
Property.
It's stolen property. That's correct.
And you're still chayv and orla.
And you're still chayv and orla, like we're going to say in the next, we're about to say in the next statement. So it says, hanafi shanata, if a non-Jew plants, and here, the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah says, that he's planting in the Rishus of Yisrael, but then Yana Chazakah, he changes his mind, and he says, even if he plants for himself, you're also potter. So you have a stira between the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnah, and...
He's an employee?
Let's take a look at the Mefarshim real quick. Let's look. Marafolda, look at that. Nachri Shanata, Besada Shal Yisrael. So Marafolda, you see where it says Nachri Shanata?
Yeah.
So there he says, Besada Shal Yisrael. It sounds like it's only in the Jews' property. Go to the Pnei Moshe. Nachri Shanata, the other Pnei Moshe says, Bein Li Yisrael, Bein Latzmai, whether it's for himself or for the Yisrael. So that seems to be two different approaches. The Rash Cirillo says, Nachri Shanata, Rabbi Rachmana Kol Eitz Mikol Makom. That it's, no matter what, you're chayiv, right? I think there's one more. I thought I saw something in the Gra. Maybe I didn't. Okay. Never mind. So that you have different ways of approaching this Mishnah. It's not 100% clear. But the Rambam, Yerach HaZaka, clearly says it makes no difference. Whether it's for himself, whether it's for the Yisrael, it makes no difference. You're going to be chayev.
So then why?
And therefore, that's why I'm telling you that the reason why, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, why they were a potter, is not because of Nachri Shanata. That's not the reason.
Do we know what the reason is?
The first line of Gemara, we're going to read it in a second. HaGazlan Shanata, if a Gazlan plants, of course, Kaka in an Exela, so it's a double poshet, right? Even if the guy's miyash, it's still kaka in an exilus is a universal klal, whether he has yish or not yish.
Why should have harmful the same as the sash of all living men?
Because it's even then. Even then he's. Wait. No. The opposite, right?
Even if they weren't miyash.
Even if they weren't miyash, it should be stage five. Oh, hold on a second. In the footnote, he says it makes no difference. I don't see somebody saying otherwise with favors. Okay, let's leave that as a question. Hanotev Svina, that we've discussed many times with the boat, the famous boat question. And there's a question here whether this is talking about a wood boat or a kli charis, whether it's a kli charis boat. So therefore, if it's kli charis, then we say that it's yonik through it. And Marafoldi says, "Hanotei avasvina." He says, "Afal pisha in a nekuva, even if there's no hole in the bottom of the boat, imhi shal charis, if it's made out of clay, right?" I will show eight boy nikiva. So the Marafolda's position is you have to have a hole in it if it's a wooden boat. Most boats are made out of wood, not out of kli charis. Okay.
And Moshe disagrees with that.
Yeah. Quite, some people say that the roots will eventually push through the bottom of the boat and make a hole in it. Whatever. I think it's a short shot. If it grows on its own, right? So it grows wildly. Chayv arla, these are all chayv and arla. Now when it says if it grows wildly, then it's chayv and arla, it has to be that it's biyishrof, and it's in town. If it's in the wild, if it's in the forest, then of course you'd be potter. Next. So the Gemara says, untatem, here we go. Here's the pasuk. You will come to the land and you will plant. Since it says, and you will plant, the pasuk is laying out the chiyuv of arla is only if you do the planting. But if it was already planted when you came into Eretz Yisrael, prat l'shanato goyim ad shelavo Yisrael la'aretz. So then it's excluded.
If you bought an orchard off a goy, and you didn't do the planting, that would possibly deprive you from arla.
So, like we just said, it says that nachri shanata. If you're going to be garis, if you're going to learn the way we're learning, then the Mishnah says you're chayiv in every case. It'll be totally how you learn the Mishnah.
If you buy a tree from someone else
no changes. There are no changes to the tree. Tree status is based on physically when it was planted.
Yeah.
Right. So Yeah, what he was asking though is if you're going to be Dairish and Tatem, and the guy planted it, he's assuming that if a guy planted it, you'd be Potter. But we see that the Mishnah says the guy Shanata is Chayef. So
except when they came in Eretz Yisrael.
That's the one exception. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Avla, Hado Amra Shoresh Potter Piter. Here we have again our favorite expression. This is like one of these Nishams. Some expressions you just can't get away from them. And this is one of them. So Shoresh Potter Piter again. What's the pshat? What they say in the bottom is the pshat's like this. Is in other words, even though when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps the guy just planted it, so it has a minimal root system. And after you get there, the root system is growing in the Zman Chiyuv, so to speak, after you're there already, and most of the roots are in a time of Chiyuv, nonetheless, it's Shoresh HaPoter, meaning the Shoresh that was there when the guy planted it, that potters the whole tree. That's his illustration of that example, which really tells you, that it's dafka then. So not often Mishul like Kirshu Chayev. It says that even though you didn't do the 14 years of Kibush, you're still going to be Chayev. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yishmael, the Amra, Kobiya Samus, Matairo, Lachar, Abra, Esri, Shana, Nemru. Rabbi Yishmael's Shita is whenever that says, Bia Saaretz, it means after the Yadalat. So according to him, the Shama Shakir, Shama Shakilku, is, it's not going to come out like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be a Stira to Rabbi Yishmael's Shita. That's the Gemara is trying to say. Of Hila B'Shem Rabbi Lazar, the Gemara says, no. Maida Rabbi Yishmael, B'Chala Uba Arla. That Rabbi Yishmael is Maida when it comes to Chala and Arla. Those are exceptions to his rule. In other words, even though normally he says that Bias Ha'aretz requires complete coming to the land of Eretz Yisrael, including the Sheva Shekir Shosh Chokho. Here it's different. Why? Tony Kane, here we have a Bryce that explains why. Bevo Atem. Here, you have an unusual expression, when you are coming, bivoachem. Not kayikisav al haaretz, but bivoachem. So that's lefisha shino kasam mashmo. It changes the language, which means it implies what he says is immediacy, right? 19. Let's see. 18, he says, every other instance the Torah says going to the land is kisavou, kiiviacho. And when it comes to what? Chala, it says, Bavo Achem. So as you are coming, so that sounds like a medium. Shinu Hachamim Chiyuvos, and they changed the Hachamim. It's very interesting, the Gemara calls us that the Hachamim changed it. The Hachamim changed the understanding of the obligation, meaning as soon as they come in. Okay? So that was Chala that we talked about, Bevoachem, and now in the English, in the top, it says, now in regard to Arla 2, it took effect immediately, whereas in other contexts, there's an interruption of several words between the mention of coming to the land. In the context of Arla, it says, Kisavol Ha'aretz from Tatem Kol Yismachol, Arla took effect as soon as you come into the land. Okay? Finally, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonah Bai, Mithlafa Shittasi and Rabbi Shmuel, Taman Huamer, and other places it says, on Dafav Amanalf, Hi Havaya, Hi Hakama, that when it says, Havaya in one place, Ken Yiyah, and that's another place it says, Ken Yakum, that's in the parsha of redeeming animals from Hektish. You have to add a fifth. Now the Pasuk says Ken Yiyah and Ken Yochum. So he says that since the Pasuk says two words, but they mean basically the same thing, so he dashens that Hi Havaya, Hi Kima, it's the same thing. It's no difference. The words are interchangeable. He Shavira.
And therefore?
I'm not getting into it. We're just referencing Rabbi Shmuel's general Shita in all Psukim in the Torah. I'm not going to get into the drushes right now. He shvira, he netitza. It says in one place you break, and then one place another place break. It's the same thing. He geula, he peduya. It's all the same thing. And here, all of a sudden, he's makvid. In other words, he holds words in the Chumash are loosely coupled, and they mean the same thing. And here, all of a sudden, he's makvid. here it says Bivoachem, as opposed to everywhere else Hoiki Yivacha. All of a sudden he's makvir on the drasha. That seems to be a contradiction in his way he approaches the pashtus on Migra. He changes from one ki sav ki yivyacha and hoi ki savo mivoacha. And the Gemara doesn't answer that question. Okay? And with this we end davol. Daf hei omen bein. Daf hei.
It was more immediate to make it and you take it off right away.
So when the language is doing it, while all the other ones, there's a hesitation, there's a lot of time between the plan and the use of it. Chalah, it's almost immediate. Which is most cases.
Take care.